following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. I don't just write songs for PutThemInASong.com. I've been writing songs for almost 18 years, and just like any other songwriter, I have quite a catalog of songs. And this episode's a little different. You'll hear quite a few of those as I sit down with my best friend. We've known each other for 15 years or so. I'd like to introduce you all to my wife, Chrissy. This is episode 4 of The Root Note, I Don't Care.
Your conversation is now being recorded.
American. Like the Google voice code. Conversation is now being recorded.
Conversation is now being recorded. Hold on, I got it. I got a better one in me. That's what she said.
Conversation is now being recorded.
Boom, baby. Well, I just figured we'd talk about ourselves.
All right.
As, like, our marriage and stuff. Because it is fascinating, the two of us. All my friends say so. We went to school in Memphis. When I met Shane, he had spiky short black hair. He had on a big metal ball necklace. One of those, like, I don't know what those are for, but I don't know what they are, but. Like biker.
Attracting women.
Hot Topic.
It'll work for you.
Hot Topic necklaces.
But why do you like me?
Why do I like you? Mm-hmm. Ooh. This is like girls ask guys this when they why do you like me? And it makes guys mad. You're my person. Sure. What I'm lacking, Shane definitely has.
I remember asking you out and you running away.
But why did I run away?
I have no
idea. First of all, I don't recall running away.
Yeah. All right. Here's how it went. I ran over one of those hitching pins for a trailer. It was in the middle of the road. I ran over it and it punctured my tire. And my excuse to get her away from everyone was to go show her out of the car. And I got her down there and showed it to her. She's like, wow. And so I remember asking her out, and she got this surprised look on her face and took off running towards the apartment again.
I did not take off running.
Well, what did you do then? What would you call that?
Well, okay. What everyone should know prior to this asking me out is that we had been in Memphis for almost 4 years by this time.
Why do they need to know this?
And you had given me no clue that you were going to be interested in me. I had been interested in Shane off and on during this period of time. And pretty much had been like, yeah, this is just never going to happen. In fact, when I asked your brother a few weeks later, like, wow, like, do you think Shane would ever ask me out? His exact words were, hell no. So I was a little bit caught off guard when you asked me out, but I didn't turn and run away. You said you showed me this hitch pin, and I like looked at you.
I'm standing beside my car with this hitch pin in my hand, watching you run towards the apartment.
Running.
I didn't move at all.
When people hear running, they think I like ran. I didn't run. You asked me out, and we had had a conversation the night before where I had said in the past, I had kind of just like always been the girl who said yes to everybody who asked me out and went on a date because I just felt bad. And you immediately said after that, you don't need to answer me right now. I don't want to just be another person you just say yes to. And I didn't know what to say. And we were actually leaving at the time. Hillary and I lived together. So we were like grabbing all of our stuff and headed out. And you asked them to stay back for a minute while you took me out. So I was just like caught off guard, but I don't think I really ran away.
Well, maybe it's better to describe it as a
brisk walk.
It was, imagine a lady walking through a dark alley trying to get home. Like that was a brisk walk we're talking about. And it's not, I mean, it wasn't a stroll back to the apartment to grab your purse. It was, let's get the hell out of here before something bad happens.
Yes, I mean, that's probably what happened. But, like, you should know by now, I wanted to be like, yes, I've been waiting a long time for this.
This is a song I wrote about Chrissy and I being married. And it's just about every day, middle class living together. It's called For Life. Had the kitchen get so clean, and who got dinner ready to eat? How'd my socks get so white? Well, that's right, I got you for life. Why do I worry about the bills? Why do I stress till I get ill? And who's gonna calm me down tonight? Well, that's right, I got you for life. I cheated the system when I got you to say I do. Think I might be dreaming till I wake up next to you. And that's when it hits like a falling sky. Well, that's right, I got you for life. What you're supposed to do is set the avocado down on a cutting board or a plate or something, not hold it in your hand. And you're supposed to, you just chop into the seed, right? And the knife goes down into the seed. And then you, twist. Once it's, once it's embedded into the seed, then you twist it and it's supposed to pop out.
I know what I'm supposed to do, but you can't do that with a serrated knife.
Yeah, you can.
No.
I've done it before.
Well, fancy pants. I couldn't do it with a serrated knife. So anyway, there was blood everywhere gushing out of my hands. I would say that a good 90% of people, had they been in that situation, would have been like, yeah, duh. We're going to the ER. Not Shane Yoder.
No.
He ran past me. I'm standing in the breezeway. And I tell him what's going on. And instead of stopping to look at it, he runs into the apartment and leaves me standing there outside. And then he opens the door and he just hands me a roll of paper towels. I was like, what am I supposed to do? And he just takes the whole brand new roll of paper towels and just puts it on my hand. Like, it wasn't like we took some off. It was just like, push this whole roll of paper towels on your hand.
Yeah, just grab it.
So I was just holding a roll of paper towels.
Well, we didn't even know where the hospital was. So we had to stop on the way out of the apartments to some bystander. And Chrissy's,
I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the car going, just like crying, freaking out about my hand.
Yeah, and this poor bystander, I was yelling across Chrissy. It just happened, they were on the passenger side. So I rolled down her window and yell over Chrissy's screaming of like, how do you get to the hospital from here? Because I knew it was close, I just didn't know exactly where. So we were sitting in traffic. We pull out and immediately we're stopped. And there's a Target right beside the apartment complex.
I calmed myself down. I finally got it to stop bleeding. Like, it wasn't like it was like, oh, we'll just go to Target. I was pretty set on us making it to the hospital.
She allows me to just go to Target, right? And I go in and get some super glue and
bright purple ace, like the
ace wrap, like
sticky wrap.
Yeah, the compression wrap is what it's called. And it was bright purple because that's her favorite color. So I come back out, take her back to the apartment, and fix her up. Then the following day, you look at it again, right?
Yeah.
You want to describe what you saw?
I don't know what it was, but there were things hanging out of this hole I had put in my hand. Like, just stuff. And it was hanging out. I think Shane said it was fat.
It was fat.
But yeah. It was just, like, gross. I mean, it was gnarly. It was so disgusting.
Yeah. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was along the lines of, oh, it'll die and it'll sort itself out.
But I never ended up going to the ER. My hand's fine. I still have the scar.
We're already 16 minutes in. We don't need the whole backstory.
Well, the thing about it is that it is a good backstory. Essentially, Shane, I moved to Nashville ahead of Shane. We were already dating, and it was like, you're going to come, right? Like, you're gonna move here, right? And there was no plan. And so the moment I moved, started trying to get here.
What happened? Let me try to condense this down. All right. So I applied at Gibson like 4-5 months, you know, before all this stuff happened. And I decided to just go ahead and make a trip out to Nashville. I decided I'm going to go find a place to live, maybe apply at a few places, and just trust that I'm supposed to be out here and things will work itself out. And the day before I left, Gibson gives me a call and says, hey, the job's yours if you want it. So they asked when I could come out and sign some papers. And I said, actually, I'll be out tomorrow. We can schedule it till then. And I actually found an apartment that very day. And that was it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yep.
But by the time we got married, he was pretty over it. It was just, I think everybody can relate to working in a place and thinking, man, if I were running this place, X, Y, and Z wouldn't be happening, or X, Y, and Z would be better. And you don't know till you're in those shoes. I've been in management, so I know it's not always that easy, but there were stories he'd tell me and I'd be like, what is going on in that building? So by the end, he was pretty done.
You know, the Gibson name, you know, being a musician and everything, I was like, man, this would be really cool to work here. But you know, after a few weeks, it's just another factory job and you're doing the same thing over and over again.
You know, plus their hours were stupid. Like by the end you were working like 16 hour days sometimes. And
yeah, and I didn't feel like writing at all. You know, the whole reason I moved to Nashville beside you was to pursue songwriting. You're the one that actually pushed me to quit. This is a song I wrote on the assembly line one day. It was during a time when we were all going through a bunch of layoffs and we weren't sure if we'd have our job. It's called The Assembly Line.
I'm just one part of a big machine, working that one job they gave me. I screw it on and send it all a couple hundred times, and then I punch a clock. I can be replaced any day, so I do what I can to stay on my feet. By all means, I gotta use these hands. I have dreams chasing me, but to stay outside as I build my life on the assembly line. It pays all right, I guess. Gives me and my wife benefits. It strains my neck and my soul, but I give it all that, cause I know I can be replaced any day, so I do what I can. stay on my feet. By all means, I gotta use these hands. I have dreams chasing me, but they stay outside as I build my life on the assembly line. Been talk going round. They're gonna lay on 45 this round, and we're just a spot on a piece of paper. They gotta erase, cut the labor. I can be replaced any day, so I do what I can. Stay on my feet, by all means, I gotta use these hands. I have dreams chasing me, but they stay outside as I build my life on the assembly line. Yeah, it's a sacrifice, but it's mine, the assembly line. I'm just one part of a big machine, working that one job they gave me.
Shane never skipped a beat when we got married, when I was like, look, I want to do this thing for a living, and I have the potential of making great money, but I don't know when that's going to happen, and I don't know how much of a burden I'm going to put on you if I pursue it for a while. And he never was like, oh, we can't do that. Or, you know, it was just like from the get-go, go, go, go. Just do what you got to do. And so I'm a hustler. So I got my business off the ground pretty quick. But specifically in 2016 was... I knew I'm where I'm supposed to be, and just of opportunity, and financially it was just a great year. And we also, a little caveat to this is we live pretty simply. So it wasn't like we had, you know, whatever. Anyway, so some big opportunities had come my way, and we were able to like throw, you know, pay Shane's car off and do a couple other things. We went and bought like two cheap kayaks at Walmart, so that we could do that because we live so close to the Harpeth. And we were out one day, he had skipped work, and I just looked at him and I was like, you need to quit by the end of the year. And I like, it wasn't like me bossing him around. It was like, I felt like I was supposed to tell him that, like, your time has come, like, it's time for you to pursue what you want to do. So ultimately he didn't want to quit because he was our stability. So I think there was that little bit of worry and concern. I don't remember what happened, but he quit. Finally, he finally put his notice in. You won't put this in the episode, but I think it's funny. He'll go do something. He doesn't leave the house very often, but he'll go, you know, run to the grocery or go help. He helps our neighbor out occasionally with some things. And so he'll get up and he'll put jeans on and go work. And then the minute he gets back in the door, he puts right sweatpants right back on.
That's right.
Which I'm not judging. That's how I live.
I asked you what Newton's laws were, and you said, yeah, I know. What goes up must come down.
Is that, did I say that?
Yes.
Because is that not one of his laws?
No.
Is that just like a Chinese?
Yeah, some kind of old saying is all it is.
Previously recorded.
Wait, Newton had his son do what?
He put an apple on his head and he shot an arrow at it.
Why did Newton do that?
It was something about distance and physics. Hold on, I'll look it up.
I thought you said it was gravity.
Gravity is something else. Isn't he the same person who dropped the feathers in the bowling ball? Or was that Bill Nye? That might have been Bill Nye. Did he do something? I can't remember if that's Bill Nye or Newton. fall on Isaac Newton's head. Yeah. Isaac Newton was sitting under an apple tree when he was bonked on the head by a falling piece of fruit in the 17th century. That's when he had an aha moment that prompted him to suddenly come up with the law of gravity. I was right.
No, you weren't.
I said something about an apple and gravity. No. I said why? And I said gravity. And you started laughing. Who shot an arrow?
I think you're confusing.
It's not Robin Hood.
I think you're confusing with Robin Hood.
An apple on his son's head. No, it's not Robin Hood. William Tell, which is not Newton, but William Tell was ordered to place an apple. But there was something about this story with science. There's something. Okay, so William Tell did the apple thing on his son's head, and Newton did the apple thing. The apple did the thing to him by falling on his head. About gravity. And I think Bill Nye is the one with the feathers
No, I don't think Bill Nye did that. He didn't have the budget for that.
Yes, he did. Here is the footage, right here.
Does it say Bill Nye?
It's about momentum. And it's Bill Nye. Bill Nye, the science guy on momentum. So I remember things, I just get them mixed up a little bit. Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill. Oh, but this isn't gonna be right. Okay, I can't find it, but. Alright, listen, I wasn't an honor student, but I graduated on time. And I remember few details, I just don't remember what class and how they apply to my everyday life. I just know if I fall, I hit the ground hard.
But it's true. What goes up? Newton. And okay, but in my defense, okay, Newton discovered gravity.
He defined gravity.
He not defied, but he defined gravity. He's the one who...
The Wright brothers defied gravity.
He's the one who... When the apple fell on his head, figured out gravity. He's not the one who shot an arrow at an apple on his son's head, which we learned last night. But, so technically he did figure out, like, what goes up must come down because of gravity.
That reminds me, I remember that song I wrote, Breaking the Rules?
Yeah, insert clip.
Well, God did. When he invented time, McCoy did, running his moonshine. If Elvis didn't rock, we'd still be singing the blues. And where would we be without him breaking the rules? We can thank Walt Disney for daring us to dream. Martin Luther for writing his in a speech. If Jesus didn't raise hell in the temple to speak the truth, where would we be without him breaking the rules? Yeah, the good heart of Robin Hood gave to the poor, and Einstein's theories gave relatively more. Where would we be without him breaking the rules? Well, Johnny Cash did. He became the man in black, and the Wright brothers defied another that fell in Newton's lap. Here we are, driving cars Ford learned to produce, and Rosa Parks saved a seat for me and you, breaking the rules.
It's a waste of money anyway. Tuxes?
I wore an actual wedding dress and he wore actual jeans. It was fine.
They were new jeans.
They were new jeans.
And I still have them.
Yep.
It's practical. You buy clothes for your wedding and just wear them until you get too fat to wear them anymore. Just like any other clothes. Instead of just doing it one day.
You love to be at home all the time, and I do not. I love home. I love where we live, and I definitely, there are times where I want to just stay home. But I would like to, like, leave our exit every once in a while and go see a movie or something. Shane doesn't like movies, so.
I like movies.
He doesn't like movie theaters.
Public movies. I don't like the public. Is what it boils down to. I don't like.
It's probably not something you should say on a podcast.
No. Just let me explain myself. Listening public. I don't like public in a movie theater because they're chomping popcorn. They're slurping their drinks. The ice is shaking. They're talking.
Shane has that disease. It's like a diagnosed disease that the sound of chewing makes him angry. Like it.
Well, no, it's not diagnosed, but.
No, he's not been diagnosed, but is a diagnosable disease. It's a thing.
I don't know if it really
gets, it really is. It's something he gets extremely angry. The only other thing I would talk about is how different we are.
Yeah, we are. I like to get straight to the point and
I think you need all the detail.
Yeah.
You do. Every one of them. I want you to feel like you were there.
Yeah, but if you put too much stuff in there, people... They're just like, okay, get to the point.
Some people love how I tell stories.
Who?
There are people.
Please email the podcast.
Shane wrote this song. I thought it was about us because he told me it was about us, but it turns out it's about... This won't make it into the podcast.
No, this will make it in because what I told you exactly was the song is about you, the one line. Chasing you because you scream. I took that from a previous relationship. But everything else is about Chris.
Why don't you chase me?
Well, I would chase you. Because it did stress you out. But what you do is just fall down on the ground and curl up in a ball.
Yeah, no, I do have this thing that I think they teach it in self-defense classes. I taught him this when I first met him. He would.
I don't think they say. Just lay down on the ground and curl up in a ball.
This is good because I do remember you chasing me. When we were in school, which is where we met, he would chase me and he'd try and pick me up. And I would just drop to the ground, just get down on the ground because then he couldn't. It's harder to lift somebody from the ground.
Well, if you're curled up in a ball, you have limbs to grab a hold of, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's a pretty common reaction to stress people out when they're being chased.
Yeah. How many of you curl up in a ball when you're being chased?
I don't curl up in a ball. You're making it sound like I assume the fetal position.
That's exactly what it is.
No, I just drop down to the ground because you can't pick me up because in that season you would try and pick me up. But no, I don't like to be chased, so it's fine. But I love this song. It's a duet.
Yeah, it was a song I wrote a while ago.
About how different we are.
Yeah.
Because we're very different.
And now that I think about it, I will probably preface this episode like I always do. It'll probably say, this episode is about my wife and I. It's called I Don't Care.
Boy.
This is Cody Gregg and Erica Chambers on vocals.
How do you know what to say to make a bad day melt away?
How does one kiss feel so strong? Make me feel right at home.
Then again, I'm a campfire burning Friday night.
And I'm downtown in the neon light.
We're so different, can't you see?
Do you think we'll always be?
I think love just might have me stomped this time, but I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
As
guessing, darling, I can hear your love calling me out on a dare. I don't need to know why,
when it just feels right,
so I don't care. You get a dirty mouth when you burn the food.
Well, tell me, why do you love it and think it's cute?
The same reason I chase you, to hear you scream, baby.
Yeah, why is that my favorite thing?
I think love just might have me stumped this time, but I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. As long as you're here, as long as I keep guessing, darling, I can hear your love calling me out on a dare. I don't need to know why,
when it just feels right,
I don't care. I don't know why I feel the way I do.
I feel like a fool,
but I get to fool around with you. So I don't care.
I don't care.
As long as you're here, as long as I keep guessing, darling, I can hear your love calling me out on a dare. So I don't care,
I don't care,
I don't care,
I don't care.
As long as you're here, as long as I keep guessing, darling, I can hear your love calling me out on a dare. I don't need to know why,
when it just feels right,
I don't need to know why. I don't care.
The Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.